1065. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Mallory Poppy text line 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour from now, we'll talk to Frances Martell, my colleague at Breitbart News. She is sort of their international editor, and a few questions to ask about what's going on around the world. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he's our state auditor. Always a pleasure to bring him on, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Happy to be back on with you. It's been about a month, so looking forward to the conversation.
Hey, you're always we always welcome you on this program. We do appreciate your time. Let's kick it off here, and before we get into your Secretary of State, man. But you got the auditor's office for now, and I assume that is going about as well as you could have expected.
Well, it really is. You know, we still got our bill to strengthen the auditor's office. We have that bill out of committee in both the Senate and in the House, looking to get it to the floor. Of course, we're down to the last, you know, six legislative days, so there's a big push to get everything to the floor. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're still pushing that, hoping to get some movement on that at the end of session here. And also appreciated 1819's coverage of my speaking at an event down in Florida. I was in Orlando last week at the State Financial Officers Foundation Conference and was given the opportunity to address the group. There's about 40 state financial officers in this group. It's going to be your conservative Republican treasurers, auditors, comptrollers, revenue commissioners, whatever all their various titles are, right? There's like six different titles for people in that group. But there are 10 auditors in the group, and I'm proud to be a part of that organization. And I was given the opportunity to address them, got to highlight some of the things that we've been doing in our office. And also, you may remember, I got elected auditor at large in the state financial officers on August 1st of last year. I'm serving a one-year term. Enjoy serving in leadership in this organization. And one of my pledges when I ran for that position was that I would increase the auditor membership. When I first heard about State Financial Officers Foundation, there was only five auditors in it. I joined it, became the sixth. Then I proceeded to recruit the Mississippi auditor, the Montana auditor, the North Carolina auditor, and the Wyoming auditor to all join. So we have now increased the membership to double digits. So we are roughly one quarter of the group down there. So I was pleased. That was a campaign promise I made and one that I have followed through on. And it was a little bit of a challenge because when I was recruiting Jim Brown up in Montana, when I was recruiting Dave Bullock in North Carolina, I was recruiting them last fall when they were the Republican nominee for those auditor positions. But it was by no means a certainty that they were going to win those positions. Montana was very much a swing state. Republicans were trying to pick up a U.S. Senate seat out there. North Carolina, obviously one of the seven swing states that Trump carried by a narrow margin. Dave Bullock also managed to slip in there by a 3-point margin, he told me. He won 50-47 and a Libertarian got 3%. So I was pleased that they both were able to win those races. Republicans had a pretty good election cycle nationwide. And, you know, we tend to think about the race for president and vice president, and we follow the Senate race and who's in control of Congress. But there's other important elections happening in the state that controls so much. Like, who is the state treasurer in a state? The person might be handling $13 billion in that state and investing the money on the public's behalf. And do you want a Republican doing that, or do you want a Democrat doing that? And thankfully, we had pickups in some of these a little bit down ballot races like treasurer and auditor. We also saw some victories there. And by the way, those were flips from Democrat. We flipped a couple auditor seats. So anyway, very proud to be serving the state financial officers and pleased that I was able to follow through on my campaign promise to recruit some more to the organization.
How much of this, we haven't talked about it a lot lately, but how much of this ESG stuff is an issue when it comes to those investments? Because I know we've been kind of on attack on that in Alabama and with some success. But beyond Alabama, I mean, I got to think this is a problem in a lot of other places.
Well, it's a huge problem because treasurers and other state financial officers are not fulfilling their fiduciary duty. You know, when you're acting as a fiduciary, you're managing someone else's money and you're responsible to manage it and earn the best risk-adjusted return that you can earn for them. And you really shouldn't be taking into account these external political factors into your decision-making process. And what we're seeing is that some of these Democrat, these liberal state financial officers are knowingly choosing worse investments and getting earning worse returns for their investors by investing in things that don't make economic sense. For instance, they are divesting their funds of investments in coal and other fossil fuels, and they're increasing investments in wind and solar and electric and whatever. And all those things are fine if the companies are actually profitable. But the returns, I mean, if you're earning a 6% return in your retirement fund instead of 12, you're impacting the long-term financial stability of the people in the pension system for your state. And 20, 30, 40 years from now, these pension systems are already underfunded in America, and they're going to be in far, far worse shape because of the actions that these liberal fiduciaries are taking. And I think they're actually violating law by doing it. And this was Steve Marshall's point. He came out and said this. Hey, if you're acting as a fiduciary, it's your responsibility to invest in a company like, let's say, ExxonMobil, who has record earnings. Whether you agree with, you know, oil and fossil fuel drilling and exploration, all that or not, your duty as a fiduciary under the law is to invest in that company. And what they're doing is they're instead divesting, and ExxonMobil had record earnings. And even worse, they're weaponizing the shares that the state pension funds owns and voting woke with them on shareholder proposals. So imagine a conservative state like Texas, how many shares of a company like ExxonMobil the Texas pension system would own. Well, Texas is taking their shares and voting block voting to, for instance, like do crazy things like remove the entire board of ExxonMobil. Well, and the board's like, well, what did we do wrong? We had record-breaking profits last year. Like, can you imagine firing somebody who's running your company and the company just had the best year it's ever had? But these are the crazy kind of votes that are happening. So we, as State Financial Officers Foundation, we're teaming up, we're fighting back, and we're getting big groups like BlackRock to back down from all this ESG nonsense. We're going to start investing to earn actual returns for people and act properly as fiduciaries. And I do serve on one fiduciary board here in Alabama, and I take that role very seriously.
We're joined by State Auditor Andrew Sorrell. He's running for Secretary of State in the 26th cycle. How's the campaign going?
Well, Jeff, people ask me that all the time, and my answer so far has been the same. It's going fantastic. It couldn't be going any better because right now I don't have an opponent. So it can only go downhill from here. You know, I say that jokingly, but on a serious note, I visited 41 of Alabama's 67 counties already on the campaign trail. You may remember this. I announced back February 22nd, so I've officially been in the race for about 60 days now, and I've really been burning up the campaign trail. I'm excited for the fundraising window to open in less than 1 month. We will be able to begin fundraising. I think I'm going to post some really strong fundraising numbers. My donors are excited about the fact that I'm running for Secretary of State because they know I'm serious about election integrity. And although Alabama has some of the best elections in the country, we're ranked number two. I shudder to think how bad the other states' elections are because there's still a whole list of stuff that we need to fix about Alabama elections. And we're still ranked number two, even having this list. Now, from a very broad view, Alabama votes in person on election day with a photo ID on a paper ballot. All four of those things are very important for election integrity. There's bills being introduced in the legislature every year to, for instance, get rid of photo IDs or maybe we're going to expand the amount of days that you can do voting, or we're going to have a mass mail out of ballots. All those efforts need to be defeated in the legislature. We get the big four right. What we're not doing in Alabama is we're not auditing our elections. And House Bill 30, which has passed the House 3 years in a row, is an election audit bill. We desperately need an election audit bill. Every other state in the country audits their elections. We don't do it. Even the manufacturer of our DS-200 tabulator machines recommends an audit after the election to make sure the tabulators are working properly, and we still don't do it. Now, I'm optimistic that bill is out of committee in the Senate. It is waiting a final Senate floor vote. As I said, we've got 6 legislative days left to accomplish that, and I really hope that we get that bill through. I've been very outspoken in support of that bill because we're desperate for election audits in Alabama. And then we've got to finish the job that our current Secretary of State, Wes Allen, has started of cleaning up the voter rolls. Because if you look at the state that's beating us in the election rankings, that's Tennessee, they're beating us in two big categories. Number one, election audits, because they do it and we don't. And number two, cleanliness of the voter rolls. Now, we are on our way to cleaning our voter rolls up. You know, this Alabama voter integrity database that Wes Allen has started, we're partnering with 9 other states. We're comparing voter data. and we're finding duplicates on the voter rolls and eliminating them. And we're doing many other things to clean our data up as well. As your next secretary, I will follow through on that effort. I want Alabama to have the cleanest voter rolls in the country.
Well, let me ask you about that, the voter registration, or we were in the electronic registration information center, and Wes Allen, when he took over, he withdrew from that and introduced his own system here. And then you obviously, I guess you're aware of the dust up, the public dust up between Merrill and Allen. What's your take on that? If you're running for this office, what is the right approach on these databases?
So first of all, I have to say, I think both Secretary of State Merrill and Allen have done some really good things in Secretary of State's office. John Merrill, I give him a lot of credit for cleaning up business services. We were running 90 and 120 days behind on business filings, which is insane. He got it to same day service, which is where we've been ever since he took office in January of 2015. I think Wes Allen has done a tremendous job of establishing the Alabama Voter Integrity Database and beginning the process of cleaning up our voter rolls and getting memorandums of understanding with nine other states where we share our voter list with nine other states. So I'm not going to get in the middle of the dust up between Merrill and Allen, but I will say that I think both of them did some positive things. But I think that there's work left to do. Now, my opinion on Eric and whether or not, you know, Merrill was in Eric, Allen got us out of Eric, I land on the side of I will not get us back into Eric. And the reason is very simple. If you look at who's a member of Eric, there's 25 states in the District of Columbia that's members. 14 of the 26 members are Democrat. I don't want to be a part of an organization dealing with elections where the majority of the members, the membership is Democrat. I think that's just a recipe for disaster in the future. I like the Alabama Voter Integrity Database system better. It does all the things that Eric was doing. The only weakness of Alabama Voter Integrity Database is that Eric has 25 member states and AVID only has 9. But again, Wes is still expanding that list. We've added Texas and Ohio in the last 30 days. We're still working on building that. My pledge is going to be we're going to triple the number of states currently in it. We're going to end up having more states than what Eric has, and our data is actually going to be better than what Eric has. That's the direction I would move. I would keep us out of Eric. And I would expand AVID.
Yeah, and that seems to be going about as well as it could be under Secretary Allen. I mean, what else needs to be done? Is just getting more states to join, and then over time that will become sort of the database of record? Or is it, I mean, are we going to be in this situation where some states, maybe the blue states, have one system and the red states have another system?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be very tough for us to convince Democrat states to partner with us on this because, quite frankly, they just don't care if their voter rolls are clean or not. But that's going to be a problem. You know, if you're in Eric, then you've got the problem of a lot of Republican states don't want to join Eric. So no matter which way you go, you're going to have that problem. The goal is partner with as many states as possible. And realistically, if somebody's leaving Alabama, they're probably moving to Florida or Texas or Tennessee. What are the odds that person's moving to California or New York? It's much lower. Just culturally, right, you would expect Alabama voters to move to surrounding red states. So that we've already partnered with all of our surrounding states. We're hitting the big states. Those are members already. But we're not partnered with Montana yet. Well, you know, I know somebody who moved from Alabama to Montana. Maybe they haven't come off the Alabama voter rolls yet. But there's something else we need to do. There was a bill passed in 2021 that changed the process for sending out those postcards every 4 years to verify that you still live at the address you're registered to vote. The way we used to do it, we mailed a postcard to every registered voter in the state. It was non-forwardable. So if the postcard was delivered, we knew you still lived there. If the postcard bounced back as an invalid address, then we would put you on the NVRA process, the four-year process to remove you from the voter rolls, unless you went and voted or updated your voter registration. That was a good process because we were double checking every registered voter in the state every 4 years. Now what we've gone to is we're only mailing those postcards to people who filled out the national change of address form, for instance, with the post office. Well, only 40% of people who move fill out the postcard and change and update their address with the U.S. Post Office. So we're missing 60% of the people who move. And we're using other commercially available data from, let's say, Experian, that data is not necessarily accurate. Somebody might open a new credit card and, you know, maybe they it's a personal card, but they use their business address. Or like me, I have two houses. I have a house in Muscle Shoals where I'm from and a house in Montgomery. And I'll use both addresses depending on, you know, the situation. Well, that can lead to inaccurate updates to the voter rolls. So I'm in favor of going back to the old system. Yes, it was more expensive. Yes, we're saving $1 million doing it this way, but the data is not as accurate. And I think if you ask Alabamians, they're willing to pay 20 cents a person every 4 years to have more accurate voter rolls.
Yeah, that was sort of like an issue I had making the transition from Huntsville down here and doing it right. But then, like, here you get a postcard, and it's, if you don't update this, we're going to remove you from the voter rolls. And you're kind of like, well, that's not fair, but whatever. You have to take these. I know it's no big deal. Go get a stamp and fill it out. But I could see where there would be a lapse there.
Well, you know, if you're moving within Alabama, then the system should catch you automatically. So if you go update your driver's license, say, hey, I live in Fairhope now. Well, then when you get your driver's license down there, they ask you, as part of the Motor Voter Act, again, this National Voter Registration 1993 is referred to as the Motor Voter Act. They're going to ask you, do you want to update your registered address for voting? And if you say yes, they just check a little box, and that information flows through to the Board of Registrars in Baldwin County. Baldwin County is going to contact Madison County, where you moved from, and they're going to say, Jeff Poore has moved, remove him from the voter rolls in Madison. We got him registered down here. And it should all work seamlessly if you're moving within Alabama. The problem is, what if you move to Tennessee?
Well, I think
we don't have that shared system.
It was a situation where we had multiple places within the state, and somehow it got back to the state. It wasn't changing an address necessarily, but anyway, the time has passed on that. Hey, sorry to cut y'all short here. We got to get to a break here, but thanks for hopping on this morning.
Yeah, really enjoyed the discussion. Thank you.
Hey, real quick, folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Yeah, my website, AndrewSorrell.com, will be up by May 26th. That's the goal of all of our policy positions. And you can find me, Andrew Sorrell, for Secretary of State on Facebook. That's up now.
Andrew, we always appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.